to be in the house of God. It's also good to be in your house, listening to the house of God. Thank you, Dave, for leading us in worship yet again so amazingly. And thank you, Kevin, also earlier on said this is a powerful word. He sort of set the expectation bar pretty high. But, you know, I want to be expectant for God to do good things, not just through a word. And in fact, I know I'm confident because I'm going to be quoting Scripture. So when you quote Scripture, the Word of God, there is power in the Word of God. And I'm going to start that straight away this morning. I'm talking about reconnecting to church. And yeah, interesting topic to have, reconnecting to church at this time. And I'm going to start with a passage of Scripture that's very familiar from the New Living Translation, from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And it says these words: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, like that one, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow. An amazing passage of Scripture. And I would love this morning probably to expand a little bit on this verse by verse and go through this and spend time looking at the amazing things that this early church was doing. Because this is a list of actual acts. This is a list of practices. This is not a belief statement, a doctrine statement. This is them saying, we are devoted to the apostles' teaching. We are devoted to fellowship, to sharing meals, to sharing our possessions, to worshipping together, to meeting in our homes for communion, to sharing more meals, more food. Food gets mentioned a lot in this passage. I like this passage. Praising God, enjoying goodwill of all, seeing people added. And that passage to me is what church should be about. And this morning I could talk for hours, literally probably hours, don't worry I'm not, about the type of church that we should be reconnecting to. But I've got a bit of a backup plan. If I do go on too long, I will put some of this other content that I've got in my head and on my notes. And I had about 80 pages of notes for this. It was just so much that I will look to put some stuff online if I get the opportunity. And the reason I might need more time is actually also I don't want to just look at this passage. I want to see how the church got to this stage, what led them to this place, to be this church with these practices and these actions at its core. So this morning, this is not about how we reconnect to being the church that we were in February 2020. This is about reconnecting to the church that God wants us to be. Now, some of you this morning may feel, as you watch this, if you're here in this room, that actually the word reconnect is not necessarily the right word. You may feel actually that you don't need to reconnect. You've never disconnected in the first place, and that will be the case for some people. You know, during lockdown, possibly in those early days as we put out loads of stuff, I probably felt more connected to the church than I'd done for a while. You know, we had evening, daytime prayer meetings in the prayer festival, and Zoom prayer meetings quadrupled in attendance, and we had devotions and two-minute treats, and, you know, we came back in person, we had midweek church, online alpha, life groups, kids work and hangouts still been going, and well, it's exhausting just listing it, and it's exhausting for you guys who've been doing it, but it's amazing. Explorers carried on, all the work that carried on, all the ways that we connected. And reconnection may not be an issue for some of you, but I think probably there are people within our church and lots of churches where church for them has probably been a bit hit and miss in this time. Now, for those here in this room and for those watching, perhaps those that are still with us, it's been a hit for you because you're still here. And we're returning to gathering slowly. And it's great that we're returning to gathering. And this time, even though it's slow, it feels like it's more permanent and we're on our way. The fact that we've managed to maintain this sort of online in-person presence, which actually for a church of our size and our resource is quite remarkable, and I pay real tribute to the talent and the committed people that have done that for us. And I know some of you may struggle with having to get a ticket or a reservation for church, and to be honest, I struggle with it, and you know, myself, Millie and Margaret, we're helping do all that together to get the right. We struggle with it. We don't want to have tickets. And I hear of churches where all the tickets get sold in 2 minutes or something like that, and that's not happening here. But let's be perfectly honest. It is easy. It's quite nice being church online at home. It's been great having iPlayer for the church, isn't it? That's why we've got church iPlayer, where you can go on demand. And that's a real blessing to us. Let me not discount that. But the reconnection I'm talking about this morning isn't talking about, are you taking up your reserved seat? That's not what I'm going to be talking about this morning. The reconnecting I'm talking about is not about, are you reconnecting to the Together service or the All Age service? And it's not a message, sorry guys, for those of you here in person, this isn't a message to pat yourselves on the back and go, I'm reconnected, I'm here, look at me. It's not that. It's certainly not that. And it's certainly not for you guys at home watching, saying, get yourselves over here to church and get yourselves a seat. The message this morning is about reconnecting to the church that God wants us to be. And what God wants this church to be is so much more than what we had before COVID. It's so much more than what we have now. And it is so much more than being church iPlayer or on-demand church. And these verses from Acts, these are the measure, I think, of what I believe God wants from us as a church. But even before we get to this part of the story where there is this devotion, this daily worship, this, you know, sharing, this generosity, these miracles, there is a backstory. There is a story of how they get here. And, you know, we've all been learning lessons during this time of how to be the church in this time and be the church that God wants us to be. And actually, there were lessons even before they got to this point. And the biggest lesson I've learned, if I'm honest, in terms of this season, and it has been, I'll be honest and say, sometimes it's been a hit for me, church content and church being together, and sometimes it's been a miss. Sometimes I've felt full, sometimes I've felt empty. But there is a constant. And the constant for me throughout this time has been the presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God has not departed our households. It's not departed this building because we've not met here. The presence of God has been with us. It's been the constant. The presence of God has been there for me in the storms that I've faced and in the storms that you faced. But there is something powerful. And this is my point to get you here. There is something powerful when it comes to experiencing the presence of God with others. When we can know the presence of God together. Now, I know reconnecting to church might be the catchy title, but I have a slightly longer title that probably doesn't fit on the screen, so we didn't use it. But anyway, this is about, I think, reconnecting to regather into God's presence together. That's what it's about for me. The ability to experience God's presence as we reconnect together out of lockdown. Now, this early church, they knew something about lockdown. Okay, we think this is like a unique experience for the church. It's not. It's nice. It's not a unique experience for many in churches who've been doing this for years who are persecuted. And here for the early church, they knew something about lockdown. In John 20:19, we know after the resurrection, it says this, on the evening of that day, that Sunday, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So we know the doors were locked. This was not because of a virus. This was because of the threat of violence. They were locked down. Then, of course, Jesus suddenly appears. He stands among them. And I think this is the first part of our regathering into the presence of God. We're regathering because Jesus says to us, peace be with you. We're regathering because the peace of God is with us in that presence. Peace be with you. Verse 20 and 21, it says, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus, I think that might be a little bit of an understatement. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus says again to them, peace be with you. Even in their gladness, even in their celebration, he still says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending with you. He says, peace be with you twice. And perhaps that's a word for us right now in this time as we start to come out of lockdown. Peace be with you. We're reconnecting to his peace. We're reconnecting to his presence, his shalom, his healing, his wholeness, his life, his salvation. Be with you. So my hope as we reconnect is that we are a place that reconnects people to the presence of God, that reconnects them to his peace, his shalom. Now, I have no idea to be honest, well, God does, thankfully, but I have no idea of what we are going to be doing over the next few months. What is going to be reopening? What is going to be restarting? What is going to be new? What is going to be closed? I don't know. Things like cafe and coffee stop and language school and toddler groups, you know, will they be able to start back? Will there be other things that I would love to do? Alternative schools and recovery groups and intergenerational projects and neighborhood chaplains, and I could go on. All right, all the things that we'd love to do and we'd love to start. We don't know. We don't know even if we can continue with some of the stuff that's going on right now, the food projects that we do. I honestly don't know. But I do know this. In some ways, I don't mind what starts, what restarts, what stops, or what continues. Because whatever God leads us into, I believe he's restarting us to come into his presence, to be in his presence. That is my hope and my prayer, that anything that we do, we draw people into God's presence. For this to be a place where people come and experience not just the bottles of water that you've got here, but living water supplied by Jesus that brings that peace and that healing and that hope and salvation. Now, you know that I would love all those things that I've mentioned to restart and start and have more. I'd love to be back working again, you know, rather than on part furlough. And when this part furlough finishes, when we get back to full capacity, please don't expect me to go around and go, yeah, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this project, that project. It's not going to happen, because our priority has to be, first of all, to get God, to get this place to be a place where people experience the presence of God, where they experience the healing presence of God, the powerful, life-giving presence of God, the peace-flowing presence of God. And although one day I know we again will be a house of learning, a house of food. We are already a house of food, but we can continue to be a house of food. We've got it all around us. A house of education, a house of enterprise, a house for the homeless. But our first priority should always be that we are a house of prayer. We are a house of prayer. So that those words, peace be with you, won't just be read and spoken, they'll be experienced by the people that come into this place. And we need peace right now. We know that, you know, lockdown is ending, and I know for some of you that's going to be a great celebration. You know, we were nearly there. We should have been actually here today, this Sunday, probably celebrating the fact that it was all over. Well, it's never all over, is it? But it's all over. We have the chairs all laid out. We could, you know, perhaps do the hugs and the interactions again. And this could have been that first Sunday back in full. And it will be amazing to have lots of people back in this building doing some church, as Bev would say. And if Bev, you're watching, I hope you're shouting at the screen, let's do some church right now. You are watching this. We're looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to hearing Bev shout those words in this place. But let's be honest. There are some anxieties. There are some anxieties about people coming back. So when we do come back, we need that presence of God to bring the peace into the heart of our meeting, where we reconnect, to regather, to experience God's presence together. The great thing, of course, is Jesus doesn't just stop with peace. John 20, verse 22, the following verse. And when he had said this, so this is after he had said, peace be with you, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not only being reconnected to peace, it's being reconnected to power. Jesus is equipping his disciples, his followers, his carriers for this post-lockdown church that we're going to be. He is equipping us. Now, I love the fact that one of the last acts that we read about that Jesus did in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, in verse 4 and 5, is that he tells his disciples to wait. To wait. I'll read out. While staying, Acts 1, verse 4 to 5, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So there is this post-lockdown regathering moment that is coming. But there's waiting. We're waiting, just as the disciples were waiting. But and waiting gets such a bad press at times. We don't like waiting. And I think there's going to be a temptation, you know, once we get out of this, that we want to start things and grow things and get back into the busyness of life. But don't lose that opportunity for God to work at such depth with you while you wait. Because God often does his best work while we are waiting. Now, next Sunday, as Kevin said, we've got an all-age meeting and we have no preacher. You might be glad about that. We're going to be focused on praise. We're going to be focused on worship. We're going to be focused on prayer. We're going to be having a time to wait and to pause. And maybe you want to come with a preacher who will provide you with the answers, but this will be a time for us to wait on God. To wait. Sometimes we wait for a particular issue in our life to be resolved. And once that issue or that event is over, we think, yes, we can get on with our lives now that event or issue is over. And I have to tell you, my testimony is that never happens. Because we overcome one hurdle, and then we find that there's a bigger hurdle around the corner. And the key for me is not overcoming the hurdles. The key for me is that God is with us in the race as we approach those hurdles. And there are some in this room, some watching this, and I include myself and my family in this, where COVID and the lockdown has not been the biggest challenge that we've faced over the last 15 months. So you might think, oh, we'll get over COVID, but the challenges are still there. The hurdles are still there. It won't be the end of the hurdle. Something unexpected will come along. So we need to learn to know that God is with us in the waiting. He is with us. And when we are waiting for our losses to go, He's waiting in our questions. He's waiting in our fears. He's waiting in our doubts. We're waiting in our disappointments. He is with us as we wait. He was with that lockdown church. Those first disciples, you know, they knew loss. Let's be honest about this. You know, it wasn't the same as it was before when they were locked in that room. Even with the resurrected Jesus, just a few weeks ago, they had thousands following them. They had thousands of people following every word of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. They had crowds shouting Hosanna to the King. And now actually they were down to 120 people. Now that sounds a lot to us, but they've gone from thousands to that. They've taken a hit. And we know what it's like as a church to take hits. Our leaders have taken so many hits. They've suffered. Our church has been rocked. And COVID actually is probably not the biggest thing that our church has faced. Now, it could have knocked us. It could have floored us completely. COVID could have been the final knockout blow. And sadly, in my other jobs with other churches, I've seen COVID knock some leaders out. But it's not been our biggest challenge. And even when this church, this first church, was whittled, you know, down from thousands to 120. You know, when they'd lost one of their key people who'd betrayed them, who had literally been a Judas, because he was Judas. Even when they'd lost people, even, you know, what they'd gone through, they had been knocked down. And we've lost people. There'll be people that have thrived through this time spiritually, and there will sadly be people that have died spiritually during this time. And at Raglan Road, we know some will have moved on. And the enemy wants to start, you know, telling us that, you know, I've got all sorts of plans and strategies that will weaken your church. And we feel maybe weaker. I don't know. I don't necessarily feel weaker. But you may feel that we're weaker than we've ever been before. Just seeing a few people in the room might make you feel weaker. But, hey, let's just remind the enemy this, shall we? That whatever he throws at us, his strategy will not work. Because every time we are made weak, God makes us stronger. God makes us stronger. Every time the vine is pruned, what happens? There is a rich harvest. There may be loss. There may be gain. We don't know. Now, today should have been a day we opened up and thought, oh, who have we got? Who could we see? What have we lost? What have we gained? But for me, in some ways, it doesn't actually really matter, because I'm going to regather and reconnect with whoever is left. And I'm going to regather to experience and live in the presence of God together with those people. And I'm going to live with those people with an expectation that there will be a rich harvest. And we have got lots to look forward to, Raglan Road. Lots to look forward to. We can get excited for fellowship again. The ability to stay behind, not just for those few minutes at the end of the meeting or just to sit in our chairs and not interact and talk. We will have that opportunity to fellowship again. We'll have the opportunity for this microphone to be passed around without it being wiped every time. And we'll have amazing testimonies and stories of what God has done. We'll have opportunities for people to pray and prophesy. You know, I feel like where we are right now, and Kevin alluded to this in his message about the ascension, the picture of where we are right now, we're like that first post-lockdown church. We're looking up to heaven just after Jesus ascends in Acts 1. We're gazing up to the heavens where Jesus ascends. We're looking to the clouds. We're waiting. But we know the Holy Spirit is coming. We know We expect God to do amazing things. We wait, not just to wait for the sake of waiting, but we wait in expectation. And I believe that's the position we are in right now. We can know the peace of God, church. We can know, even in the midst of the storms, the obstacles, the hurdles, even without answers, that our God is with us, his peace is with us. And we wait. We wait on our Lord with expectation. And we experience this presence together to know that God will move, and he will move in power. And I want to be connected to that church, ready for that next exciting chapter. Are we ready? Are we ready, church? Are we ready, church? I can't hear anyone, but are we ready, church? Amen. There is a time when the hit and miss season will be over. The time when people who are connecting and disconnecting will be over. When we let the presence of God flood this place, flood our homes, flood this church, flood every place that we put our feet into. Are we ready to be that church? Are we ready to be that church? This was the church I outlined earlier in Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And just indulge me, as I'm going to just pick out a few words. I'm not going to do a verse-by-verse Bible study. I can't. I'd love to. Just indulge me. I'll just pick out a few words. I'm looking at the time. And I think I'll have to do some extra online bits. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to breaking bread. They devoted themselves to prayer. Do you get this? Devoted. There was devotion. So just for a moment, think of what that word devotion means. It means to adhere to stick to be steadfast to give something your constant attention. Are you giving these things your constant attention? What are you glued to? Literally glued to is probably one of the roots of this word. Adhere to, stick to. What are you glued to? Are you devoted, sticking with, glued to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, to being together, to prayer? This was a devoted church. So devoted to being together that they were prepared to sell everything for each other. Wow, that's devotion. Whew. A few other words. I want to spend more time. I will look at that perhaps online, what it means to be devoted to those things. There's a few other words I like in this passage. Everyone was filled with all the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Everyone. This is for all. To remind you of that Father's Day reflection last week that I gave, that woman that was too scared to go near the synagogue because she was unclean with the issue of blood. She was prepared to turn to Jesus, and Jesus showed compassion. Yet Jairus, this leader in the synagogue, this man of high standing in the synagogue, with his daughter so desperately ill, was prepared to go to Jesus, and Jesus showed him compassion. Jesus shows compassion on all that he has made. This is for everyone. There's no exclusion. Love that word, everyone. Here's another word, together. The believers were together. And I know we are looking forward to being truly together. But that again goes beyond regathering. This is together at a completely different level. This is together to give to everyone who had need. This is together not to consume a service. This is a together service, yes. This isn't about us consuming a service. This is about serving. We need to come back together. And I'm sorry if you're sitting on a sofa. I don't mean to be rude, but we can't serve from a sofa. We can't serve from a sofa. We can't serve from a seat, actually, so I'm looking at you guys as well. We can't serve from a seat. I just read these words from a blog recently from a church leader. It says, we are contributors. We don't watch. We engage. We give. We sacrifice. We encourage. We do life together. I think Sam used those words last week. We do life together. We are together. But we are together contributing, not watching, engaging, serving, giving, sacrificing. This is a place for us to be equipped for that purpose. We're equipped to put on the armor of God. We're equipped in this place to receive the peace and presence of God, to receive the power of God, but we are equipped to serve. We're equipped to be together to serve. And we're together to learn from each other. We're together to understand scripture together, to be at the table together. Wouldn't it be great to be at tables together? I so miss being at tables with people in this place. where we can sit and eat together. Not because, and yeah, partly because the food is so good in our cafes, but because actually we can converse and engage together over tables. It's not just me talking to a group of people. It's real together engagement. To spur one another on to good deeds, as it says in Hebrews 10. Together, so we can have more time before church and after church, more time before life group and after life group, more food, hopefully. It's in there. It's in Acts 42, 47, lots of times. Food together to reconnect as the family of God. Now, I've observed something, and I don't know if I can say this. I'm going to say this because people are watching this, haven't left, have they? But when people leave our church or go to a different church or go to a new area, they don't often leave our family. We are a family. And, you know, there is nothing wrong with that. I celebrate that, actually. And I think we should celebrate that. As long as they don't distract us from our calling, our missional call here in Smethwick, I don't mind at all. Let's celebrate that. Let's have that strength that we are a family. Let's celebrate that, promote that. Now, together is such a key word for our church, and together was such a key word for this church. Just two more phrases I want to highlight. I'm challenged also by the word daily. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by the word daily. Day by day. What, church every day? Well, why not? Yes. But this isn't about programs or projects or events. You know, I would love the church, and I want the church to be a place of daily prayer, daily worship, daily devotion, daily eating. Always daily eating around a table. But this is about not reconnect. This is about saying we're not reconnecting to Sunday morning. You know, we are not meant to be a Sunday morning church. We are a body of people that invites the presence of Jesus Christ into every area of our life daily. It says when two or three are gathered in his name, an agreement is reached. He is there with us. We are the church. We are doing church. Let's do some church when two or three are gathered together. We can shout that too, you know. Do some church when two or three are gathered together. We can do that daily because the kingdom will break in at that moment. That is the daily church. You know, some people struggle to be part of a church. They're not quite sure how to get involved in this thing called church. And we do things to try and help. You know, should we do courses? And maybe we should do more, promote our values. Yes, maybe we should. We tell people what to expect. Maybe we should do that. But what if every person in the church, every person was in, you know, the person, the people that you are in contact with in your spheres of influence, through the ministries that we do, what if every day we say to people there's an opportunity for you to come into the living presence of God? Wow. We could be a daily church inviting people into the living presence of God. Because there's always opportunity to, for you to drink from that life-giving well and for you to share that with others. And it's there for all of us. Include leaders in that. And I don't like different phrases of saying, oh, people on the fringes and people outside of the church. Because you know what? All of us, leaders included, need the well. We need to drink. We need the presence of God. As I've said, I've seen so many, sadly, leaders who have been burnt out, chasing people, trying to keep people in the church without actually going to the water themselves and drinking in the presence of God. And perhaps it's time for us to drink from the same well together. Time to dwell in his presence. Time to make things simple. Perhaps it's time for the thirsty to come and drink from this water. So I want to finish with this. Are we thirsty today? Are we thirsty to experience the peace that comes from his presence? Are we thirsty to allow him to fill us afresh, fill us anew? Are we prepared to empty ourselves so that God will fill us with himself anew? Are we thirsty for new expectations, not of what we had, but of what God has in store for us as his church? Are we thirsty for a rich harvest? Perhaps he is preparing us to be that everyday, day-by-day church that daily invites people into the presence of God. Are we thirsty to be that devoted church, glued to his teaching, glued to breaking of bread, glued to prayer? Are we thirsty to be that church that wants to be together? Are we thirsty to be the church that God wants us to be? Are we thirsty? I want us to welcome God back into this place. I know he's always been here, but back into this place, back into this church. The presence of God will be here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We're going to make that our response song this morning. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome in our homes. You're welcome in our lives. You're welcome in every place that we step into. and you are welcome in this church. And the presence of God, Lord, we so want to draw people into this presence of God right now. There is a rich harvest coming. But let's welcome the Holy Spirit first into our hearts and lives, into this place. Let's create those places where people can drink from the living water, where we can all drink from the living water, regardless of where we've been during COVID, regardless of whatever positions we hold in our workplaces or in the church or wherever. We are coming to this well and we're drinking of this life-giving water, this presence of God. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, come be welcome into this place right now. Let's just stand together, maybe again, just to raise our arms and to embrace Jesus right now. Embrace his Spirit. Embrace all that God has for us. And say, Lord, yes, we are thirsty. We are thirsty for you. Thirsty for your presence. Hallelujah.